Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a privilege to be here today. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. It's a beautiful day to gather together with a church family and to just be together and study God's Word. We had a wonderful time at Sunday school. It could have went all day. It was very good. So thank you for that, Vern. The title of the message is The Call to Remember. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about remembering things. It says to remember. It says many and multiple times to remember. So I wonder if God knew that we would be a people that would forget. Have you ever forgot something? Maybe forgot something very important. Forgot what day you flew. Forgot what time to be at an appointment. We find the word remember around 148 times in the Bible. And according to Strong's, it simply means to be mindful, to recount or record or to make to be remembered or to bring to remembrance or to think on. So what does God have or what does God say in the Bible that we need to remember? What did God ask His people to remember? What did God say that He would remember? And what does He ask us to remember today? We're not going to have time. This possibly could be a series. I really enjoyed studying it, and I think we got through five of them this morning. So we'll see how it goes. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. This is the one most of you probably could think about that God said He would remember. But I was so encouraged to read this again and to think about God remembering. I want to start in verse 1, and I want to read down through verse 17. We're going to do a lot of reading today, so hopefully you got a good Bible and you can follow along. Genesis 9 and verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bringing forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle, and of the beast of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Verse 15, And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. You know, as we see a rainbow today, after almost 40 years of living, we still stop and look at a rainbow. A lot of times, at least in my household, we'll take a picture of it to preserve that memory or to share it with somebody. The rainbow still gives us a hope. It gives us a promise. But the next time you see one, stop and reflect on verse 16 here. God says, I, which is He, will look upon it, that He may remember the everlasting covenant between himself and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God looks at the rainbows that you and I see, according to this verse. And that was very powerful to me this morning as I thought about that. You know, we see a rainbow, it's beautiful, we admire it. Sometimes it's a double rainbow. It's not been, I don't know, a couple of months ago, we had a rainbow end right out in our neighbor's pasture. And we could see the rainbow all the ways down to the ground. I don't know if it ends there or not, but the reflection come all the ways down to the ground. And that was really, really neat to see. But the thought that God looks at those rainbows and remembers his covenant with us. Now, none of us here in our area have experienced flooding lately, but obviously South Florida has experienced extensive flooding. Kentucky has experienced major flooding. Some of the other countries, but God has promised that not everyone or everything will ever be destroyed by a flood again. And he says that I may remember the everlasting covenant that I made. And that was just a huge encouragement to me. Our next one is in Exodus chapter 13. We'll start here in verse number 3. It'd be interesting to read all these stories. We just don't have time. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 3. And he went... Let's see here. I'm still in Genesis. Exodus 13 and verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. Verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leaven bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. I would like to think about this passage as our picture of our deliverance. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you've been delivered. You've been delivered from sin. You've been delivered from the bondage of sin. What is your testimony this morning? If we was to start up here on the front row and everybody stand up, what is your personal testimony about what God has done for you personally? Do you remember being saved? Thou shalt keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. This was something they had to do under the old law. For 7 days, they would go through this time of reflection on their deliverance. I believe in a lot of times in our Wednesday evening prayer groups, where we get together in prayer groups, every time, most people thank the Lord for Jesus, for the plan of salvation, for forgiveness of sin. But do we remember our redemption? What God has done for us personally, in our homes, when we go home, day-to-day living, what is talked about? What Christ has done for you, is it remembered? Do we talk about it? Do we show it to our children? This is why we're free from sin. Because of what God has done for us. Let's remember that. Chapter 20. Moving on to number 3. Chapter 20 of Exodus. Verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby may come to mind as companies that have observed the Lord's Day. The Roman Emperor Constantine, from what I understand, brought into law regarding Sunday labor in AD 321. I don't know all his reasonings exactly. I didn't do a lot of study on it. But he was the one that kind of picked that up. Somebody said this, on the day of the sun, let the magistrates and the people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. There was laws in North America addressing Sunday activities and public, what you did in the public. In 1619, in the Jamestown colony, the first General Assembly of Virginia, 70 laws were passed by the assembly, and one of them was a mandate requiring attendance by all the people in the colony at both morning and afternoon services on Sunday. And then other colonies kind of fell in and adopted that policy as well. All right, now turn with me now to Deuteronomy number chapter 5. Chapter 5, and a start in verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant, notice this, and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. How do we view this today? This is under the old law. This was Jewish tradition, or old law tradition. How do we view this today? Is there still valid reasons to close our businesses on Sunday? Do we still not cut the grass on Sunday? Do we still not milk the cows or feed the cows? Which I think we would agree that under the new covenant, there was provisions made for that, and possibly under the old covenant, I'm not exactly sure how they did it in the law, because you had to feed your animals. But it was pretty clear in there that your animals were not to work on Sunday. So how does this factor into our lives today? How do we view this day? We know that the law was a schoolmaster to teach us things, to show us things. Yet we know that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. We know he picked fruit on the Sabbath. It really stood out to me that there was two things in the second reading that caught my attention. And that was that thy manservant and thy maid may rest as well as thou. And also it says, and remember that thou wast a servant, and remember what you was delivered from. We can bring that present day. We just talked about it. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. No, we're not under the law. It's not going to happen to us what happened in Numbers chapter 15. Let's turn back to that and read that real quick. Numbers 15, let's start in verse number 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, They found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day, and they found him gathering, and they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him in the ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. The Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregations brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. What brought the observing of the Sabbath from the old law into the new covenant? What changed when Jesus came? And this is going to be a message all on its own, but it was just interesting for me to think through this. You know, you and I need a day of rest. We just do. We need a time to stop and reflect on what God has done for us. Yes, we do it daily, but we need a time to worship, a time to meet together as a church family, together, and share with each other, a time to lay down the pressures of life, of work, of paying bills, of collecting money, of whatever, and just simply resting and enjoying God's creation. And I'm sure there's different ideas about how far we go with that. Like I said, it could be a sermon all of its own. But think about it personally. As you observe the Sabbath day personally, what is it to you? Is it a time to reflect on what's been done for you? Is it a time that you can just allow those around you to rest? Number four, let's go back to Numbers chapter 15. Start in verse 37 here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought ye out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. What do we have today in our personal lives to help us remember the commandments of the Lord? What do we stand for as a church, as a fellowship, as a group of believers to keep us holy unto God? Do you and I ever struggle with seeking after our own heart and our own eyes? Does the things that we do or don't do really even matter? What can we add into our lives to help us remember the commandments of God? And he takes this thing a little farther here, and it says, and be holy unto your God. Holy living is very, very scarce in the world that we live in today. And as you work with people, especially in the construction industry, you find out exactly where people are. I was talking with a customer this week, a good friend of mine. I think a lot of him. When I was riding down the road, he said, you by yourself? And he said I was. And he went on to tell me something that he should have never told me. But people are driven by unholy things. What can we do to put ribbons of blue around our young people, around you and I, to help us remember to be holy, to remember to obey the commandments of God? What do you think the children of Israel said? This is a big group of people. When Moses got up there, ever how he told them, ever how this passed through the whole congregation, they had to get their, not Singer sewing machines, not, what's the other thing, sergers. They got, I don't know what kind of thread they used, but this was a job. And I don't know if they sewed a ribbon this big or if it was 12 feet long. But God wanted them to do something that took time and took energy so they would remember to obey Him and to be holy. How much time of my day do I worry or spend thinking about, remembering to obey God and to be holy in my life, in my thoughts, in my actions, the way I relate to people, my relationships? Number 5, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not male or female bear, male barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil disease of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto them. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose them, dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Let's see here. Verse 19 yet. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and thou stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. All right, I got a little side mixed up here, but there, I'm back on track. So this, out of this passage, I want to think about deliverance. The great temptations, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand, the stretched out arm. I want to think about deliverance. Have you ever experienced failure in your life? How about fear of failure? We worry about the future. What could or may happen? Sometimes we flounder in self-pity and jealousy. Everything looks too big. We can't do it. It's impossible. Maybe what do others think? These nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Maybe we find ourselves saying that in our current situation this morning. You know how true? Life is more than I can handle. Life is more than you can handle on your own. And I believe we find ourselves in fear and defeat because we simply try to do it on our own. And we talked about this in Sunday school fairly extensively. It was a problem that they had back in that day. We think we know what's best. We don't want input from anybody else. We're really not sure we even want God to be involved, because it's going to probably put us in a way that we don't want to go. This morning, if you're reflecting, or if you're facing a fear or a defeat in your life, reflect on this verse of chapter 7, verse 19. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. And he goes on to say, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people whom thou art afraid. God is in your battles today, my friends. Whatever it is, young or old, God is in your battles if we allow Him to be. We can dispossess our enemies by the grace and the power and the might of God. One more, chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to go ahead and read 20 verses here, the whole chapter. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We have a call again for obedience all through these verses. And then it says that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You know, this morning, have you ever wondered why God led you where you are today? Why are you here this morning? Have you ever doubted the direction and circumstances you find yourself in? Maybe you've pondered life and simply found no answers for the things that you've experienced. I have. I don't have a lot of answers for some things that we as a family have experienced. I got some questions for Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. But it goes on here to say in verse number 2 that God wants to humble me, and God wants to prove me, and to know what is in mine heart, and whether or not I'm going to keep his commandments. The children of Israel were fed. Their clothes didn't wear out. 40 years wandering around in a barren desert. Their sandals didn't wear out. They didn't grow out of them. Their clothes didn't wear out. He said that he, God, wanted to humble them. Talks about the chastening of God, not a pleasant experience, but needful for all. Verse number 6 says, Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Chastening produces a fear and obedience and a proper view of Almighty God. I have need of being humbled in my life, of being proved in my life, to know what's in mine heart, and whether or not I'm going to follow His commandments. Then we have this beautiful picture of life after the desert. Life once they was in the land of Canaan. Plenty to eat, plenty of work, plenty of everything. I don't know if I remember reading a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. That'd be an incredible sight to see. But a land that was flowing with many good things. It talks of a land whose stones are iron and whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And if I've done my research right, I think brass would have probably been something that come from copper. So there was like, I don't know what that would have looked like, but a place where you could just get bountiful metals and rich products out of the ground, like iron and stones. It doesn't really add up in how iron is extracted and stuff. So it gives you a picture of a almost supernatural blessing. A land with endless possibilities. A land that's rich in all things. Is that how you view life this morning? Then we have a call for thankfulness. Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given. Is this a blessing from God? Followed by a call to remember. And I want to read this again. And ponder your life as you think about these verses. Picking back up here in verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Just pause a minute. Think about where you come from as a Christian, where God has brought you, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness or through all of life that didn't make sense, where there was fiery serpents, scorpions, drought, miracles, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. In other words, speaks of food that was provided that even the head of the home didn't know that it was going to get. It says, remember, unless you say in your heart that I did this, by my power and my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And then he gives us a sober reminder. If thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, or anything that comes before God, or anything that comes ahead of God, and serve them, or worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And that as the nations or as the temptations, as the struggles of life that God destroyed for us, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, a call to remember the sober reality of what happens when we forget God and that all we have lies in His care. We're only stewards of what He's given us. I was very challenged studying this today. And as I thought about my life and what's important to me, what matters to me, I was convicted. To remember what life is all about, to remember why we're here as a church, as a family, as an individual, as a husband, as a father. Why are we here? Am I remembering to honor God in all of life? To honor all of His commandments? The Bible is full of them. There's nothing that there's no issue of life that we don't have a commandment for in this Bible. Is that fair to say? It's here. All the direction we need. Am I honoring God and living up to those commandments? Shall we stand together?